Do you ever get the feeling that as far as the government is concerned, that you're kind of watching a circus? And that there are three rings and Trump's in all of them? Yeah, I know that weird things go on in Washington, but now I'm kind of figuring that this is the weirdest of all, and it didn't get better, it got just weirder. Yesterday, the head of the House Intelligence Committee, David Nunes, He says that he saw some information that said that Donald Trump's claim of Obama wiretapping Trump's phones were apparently somewhat accurate. And you got to understand, this is the head of the House Intelligence Committee where an investigation is taking place about wiretapping surveillance and also about, that's one part, and the other is whether Russia had anything to do with influencing the election and actually hacked things in this country accordingly. And this guy Nunes is apparently out to protect the president as best he can. He sees a document that basically says that there was surveillance wiretapping going on, kind of, and that there was no mention of Russia in this particular document he saw, where the names were blacked out, some of them, and so he runs to the White House, and he tells Trump what he found. You can't do that. You're part of an investigating committee. Your committee hasn't made a decision. They haven't seen the documents. The head of the House Intelligence Committee, David Noone, doesn't even have the documents. He just saw them somewhere, glancingly, apparently, his own terminology, and he goes running the president, I think it's going to be okay. You can't do that. You're part of an investigative committee, you stupid jerk. Well, those of us that are in the know that you can't do this. And what this head of the House Intelligence Committee has done is he's blown the whole deal in trying to protect the president. Now there's going to have to be an independent investigating committee, which would be even harsher against the president. This is just crazy stuff. Let me tell you something. Let me bottom line this for you in my estimation. The president of the United States is a freaking liar, and I use the word freaking very respectfully. He lies. He is a professional, top-shelf businessman, as he claims he is, and in order to get to that position, you lie, you deceive, you manipulate. You mar the reputation of those that go against you. You try to stay on top. You scratch. You think beyond so that you can win. You don't do it in a respectful, humane method. This is the guy that you voted into the White House. That business type of scratching anger never left him. All it did was become amplified, because all of a sudden in his life he's finding himself attacked, under investigation, maligned. That don't sit well with an angry man. Let me just have us all agree that the man lies. Now let's go back to the original problem, which was the claim in a tweet that Donald Trump made about Barack Obama, not about his administration, about Barack Obama. That's why I say if you're going to tweet, you better have some brains, because you just blew this one, baby. This is what he tweeted at 6:35 a.m. on March 4th of this year when he was president. I quote, "Terrible!" exclamation point. Just found out that Obama had my wires tapped is in quotes, in Trump Tower just before the victory. Nothing found. This is McCarthyism. Now, let's take a look at that. Just found out that Obama, that's Barack Obama, that's a man. Doesn't say the Obama administration, Obama's people. He says Obama had my wires tapped in Trump Tower. All right. Now, at 6:49 a.m., which is 14 minutes later, on the same date, March 4th, Trump tweets this. Is it legal for a sitting president to be wiretapping a race for president prior to an election? Turned down by court earlier, a new low. Again, referring to a sitting president. That's an individual. He continues to tweet in a separate tweet. How low has President Obama gone to tap my phones during that very sacred election process? This is Nixon Watergate. Bad or sick guy. That's not talking about administration. That's talking about Barack Obama as an individual. And I'll repeat this. How low has President Obama, that's a man, gone to tap my phones, and tap is spelled wrong, it's got two P's. If it's tapping, there's two P's. If it's just wiretap, it's one P, you ignorant asshole. But he can't even spell properly. Anyway, has nothing to do with it. How low has President Obama gone to tap my phones during this very sacred election process? By the way, previously he had tweeted that the election process was not sacred. Trump says, this is Nixon Watergate, bad or sick guy. In other words, President Obama, as a guy, it says guy, is bad or sick. That's the claim that Donald Trump made. This respected president of ours, again, going after somebody's reputation, maligning them. And most of us in the political theater know that this was all done to create a smoke bomb to cover up all the other problems that Trump has, such as a possible connection or his people's possible connection to Russia and to the hacking of the Democratic National Committee and Hillary Clinton's emails. It's a diversion. In my estimation. In any event, I've read the tweets word for word. Sean Spicer, who is President Trump's spokesperson, he says to the press, wiretapping is a narrowly defined surveillance activity that involves tapping into a telephone or telegram wire in order to get information, according to a Webster's Dictionary. It's what he says. Then he continues to say, that Trump was referring to the Obama administration broadly and not accusing Obama of personal involvement. He was not referring to the Obama administration broadly because he said in the tweet, how low has President Obama gone? Bad or sick guy. Not bad or sick administration. Bad or sick guy. Who called for the wiretapping. Specifically, Obama called for the wiretapping of Trump's Trump Tower, says Trump. That's not talking about a broad thing. That's talking about an individual. If I were Barack Obama, I'd sue Trump's ass all over the place. I'd have his ass smeared all over the pavement. I would. That's slander. It's direct slander. It's in black and white. It's in a tweet. Donald, do you not think that these things don't exist in black and white? They do. You did it. Yeah, it's a circus. It's a circus, all right. And it's getting worse every day. My original forecast was that Donald Trump, president of these United States, Lion Trump, would be in impeachment proceedings by August. And if he isn't, his presidency will be ineffective and totally null. Let's see if I'm right, or if my forecast is a little bit late and it may happen earlier. Okay, here we go.
Van Damme is an experienced talk show host.
Yes, I am.
Do not attempt to try this at home.
God, don't even think about it.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Damme Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Yeah, they're weird. Yeah, they're weird.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. I gotcha.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program. How are you today? Hi. Can I get you anything? No? All right. Be that way. I was trying to be nice. I was offering. You don't want to say anything? That's fine. Thank God the show isn't interactive. Seriously, my nose is running. God, look at that. Will you look at that? My nose is running. Will you look at that? I don't know. I got allergies in the morning, and about 2 hours after I'm awake, the allergies start to subside, and I'm perfectly fine. What am I allergic to? Am I allergic to the morning? Is that what it is? That's very possible, I assume. As I sip on this coffee that tastes like mud. Why is it that when you go to one of these coffee places, you know, a Dunkin' Donuts or Runkin' Lonuts or whatever the places are called, Starbucks or... I can't go to Starbucks. Do you know why? I don't belong. I don't belong in there. I don't. I've walked into it a few times to meet people. Which I try not to do frequently. And whenever I walk into Starbucks, I kind of get the feeling that they're looking at me like, hey, look at that guy. He don't belong here. He's a freak. This place is for collegiate people who have jobs. He says, look at him. He's got long hair. He doesn't belong in here. This is Starbucks. Get out of here, man. Go get a college education. I have one. You don't look like you do. I don't belong. Everybody turns around. And they go, look at this guy. Look at this guy. He thinks he can get coffee here. He's crazy. And then I walk up to the counter and it's like the soup Nazi. I have no idea what I'm ordering. I see the menu board, but I don't understand it. Everything's like a schmate latte with cream and filters up the ass. I have no idea what this stuff is. I just want a cup of coffee. And don't ever ask for a black coffee at a Starbucks. Because that means they won't even brew it. They just take the coffee grounds, put it in the cup, and say here. Their black coffee will have you up for 17 years. I don't know how much caffeine they put in this stuff, but one sip and you're like Habitat for Humanity. You're building like 50 houses in one morning. It's just amazing. I don't know what's in that stuff. I mean, it's like they're selling drugs in there or something, putting it in the coffee and nobody's knowing it. Hey, we're selling drugs. It's in the coffee. Shh, quiet. Don't tell him. He don't belong here. I don't get it. I walked up to the counter once and I said, I like a coffee with milk, please, no sugar. And the girl behind the counter looks at me like I'm some type of circus freak. Excuse me. First of all, what are you doing here? And secondly, she tells me that all they do is they pour the coffee in the cup, and then I have to go over to an area where they have milk, and they have cream, and they have sugar if I so desire it. Do it yourself, you assholes. That's pretty much what she's saying to me. I said, well, you know, when I go into Dunkin' Donuts, I tell them how I like my coffee, and as inept as they usually are, and by the way, it's difficult for me in a coffee place to find somebody that speaks English. In any event, and they give me the coffee the way that I asked for it. The milk's in it, the cream's in it. All I got to do is just pay for it and leave, and I can drink it. In Starbucks, no. Too much going on. There's too much going on. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I don't dress like them. That's the problem. I'm not dressed like them. They dress in a certain way. And I can't put my finger on it, but I don't want to touch them anyway. I don't, and that Starbucks, that logo, I don't understand what that is. Is that a lady drinking coffee? Is it, what is that on the cup? It's some type of scribble of something. It looks like a police artist is rendering somebody that once drank coffee on my cup. I don't get it. I always have suspicions about people that go to a place to get coffee and then actually sit down, open up a laptop, and do some work. Do you not have a place to go to? You have no job. Everybody's dressed like they have a job, but yet you don't seem to go anywhere to do your job. Can you go home and do it there? Why must you sit in a coffee shop to do your work? I don't understand that. Why is that conducive to anything for you? A coffee shop is a place where you get coffee and you get the hell out of there. What are you doing staying there? Are you renting couch space? What's going on with the Starbucks place? I don't understand it. I don't get it. The whole place smells like coffee. Why would you want to stay there? I can't drink it. I cannot drink it. It has no taste to me. It is simply water, dirt. I don't get it. I don't think people go to Starbucks for the coffee. I think they go for the clout. I think it's why people go to Costco. They don't really need that much stuff. They just want to go in there and feel like they belong somewhere. I think Starbucks is the same thing. Even there's no membership fee, although I suppose someday they will introduce that because it seems like it. I'd like a cup of coffee, please. Can I see your Starbucks membership? I don't have one. Get out of here, then. Get out of here. I think that's why people go to Starbucks. They feel like they're amongst their own. I don't know. I don't get it. Most Starbucks don't even have drive-through windows. There's no point. People don't go anywhere. It's the opposite of Dunkin' Donuts. Nobody goes inside one of those things. You could pick up scurvy. Everybody uses a drive-thru at Dunkin' Donuts. And they don't even put the car too close to the window. You don't want to get that shit on your car. They talk to people through speakers, and windows open up, and you take your stuff, and you get the hell out of there quickly. Really quickly, please. You drive away fast. Starbucks, opposite. There's pretty much not any drive-thrus. You just kind of go in and get your coffee and you stay for a week or two. It's the opposite. It freaks me out. I don't want to stay anywhere for an extended period of time on purpose. Maybe if I was sequestered or something or warranted to be in a courtroom or did jury duty, I guess I'm stuck there. Otherwise, I don't stay anywhere on purpose unless my car breaks down. Otherwise, I'm out of there quickly. I don't particularly like Dunkin' Donuts, but I like the theory of operation. I like the fact that they don't speak English, to be honest with you. I make believe I'm in a foreign country with foreign kinds of liquid and foreign people. It works. If you close your eyes and you go to Dunkin' Donuts, you're in some other country and you don't even know what the fuck that country is. But you know they don't speak English. But they're good people. They're fine people. Kind of makes it more cosmopolitan is what it does. In Starbucks, everybody that works there seems to have a college education. It's the opposite of Dunkin' Donuts. And it works, too. People behind the counter at Starbucks kind of look like they're smart. And they act that way. People in Dunkin' Donuts, you kind of figure that's about all they can really do. That's the way, I don't think that's true, but that's the way I feel about them. I'm sorry, but it's true. The only thing that makes people at Dunkin' Donuts look important are those stupid little headsets, like their air traffic controllers and their commanding thing. Things are going on. We got two coffees on window 7 there. Two coffees on window. Gotcha, Jack. Gotcha. Two coffees on window 7. What are the specifics on that, please? You got one milk, one cream, both two sugars. Roger that. Roger that. Two milks, two creams. No, one milk, one cream. Roger that. Roger that. I'm sorry, there was an incoming coffee flight. I didn't hear you. Okay, that'll be up to the window in about 10 seconds. Gotcha, Harry. All right, out, out, out. Out. They feel really important. Some of them think that they're landing planes, I think. I really don't know, but you can tell when they're walking around with the headsets that, okay, we're in charge here. We're in charge. Betsy, come up for a break. Niner, Betsy. Break time. Niner, Betsy. Break time. Niner, Betsy. It's a whole experience, man. It's too much for me. It's way too much. Starbucks is a whole nother language spoken. That is, they make up names of drinks that really never existed. The mochaccino, the pochettino, the latte flatte, the chocolate latte flatte with the mochaccino. Stuff doesn't come out of a coffee pot. It's like steamed in there from a machine. I don't know what the hell's in there. I don't know why there's steam coming out of it. I'm not drinking steam. I don't know what's going on here. I don't get it. I just don't get the whole Starbucks thing. It's all branding to me. It's branding ground dirt. It's pretty much all it is. I don't know. And Starbucks are just, they're popping up all over the place, and I don't understand why. And then sometimes I'll sit outside of a Starbucks and just watch the people that go in, trying to figure out what their life is like to the point where they need this kind of identification with coffee in order to be successful in life? Or is it just the necessity of a place to open up your laptop in public so that people can look at you and go, oh, he's got a job. Oh, look at her. She's professional. I think it's like a cell phone. I think like if you make believe you're talking to somebody, people think you're important. Or have a purpose at all. I use a cell phone. I have no purpose. You can't put that over on me. I get it. I get the whole thing. Do you think I'm grumpy?
Yes, of course you could have a podcast show host who's congenial and conversational, and talks to you like you're both on the same level and discussing the issues of the day. But come on, isn't having a grumpy old bastard who hates just about friggin' everything way better? This is the Ron Van Dam Show.
We'll be right back after these short words.
Wildlife poaching doesn't just happen in faraway places. It's a crime committed against countless wild animals all around you. Poachers don't care about hunting seasons, endangered species, or even the safety of other humans. The Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust, which protects wild animals through habitat preservation and by confronting cruelty, needs your help. Learn your state's wildlife laws, so when you witness a crime against a wild animal, you can report it immediately. Help protect wildlife at wildlifelandtrust.org.
Smart lights, smart locks, smart thermostats. You love your new connected technology. And the Consumer Technology Association wants to help you protect the security of your devices. First, don't use default or easy-to-guess passwords. Create unique ones and keep them safe. Next, look for and install security updates from device manufacturers. Also, have an active firewall for your home router. And consider using a professional installer to set up your new devices. Easy tips from the Consumer Technology Association to help keep your devices secure.
I've been called a cerebral bad boy. I'm a bad seed.
Now listen here.
Can I characterize coffee shops by political connection? That if you go to Dunkin' Donuts, you might tend to be more Democratic. And if you go to Starbucks, you might be more Republican. Probably not. But possibly.
The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does.
Oh, Well, we're going to turn now to, this is Social Workers Appreciation Week, day, month, year, decade, I don't know. Everybody's got their own appreciation week, month, decade, I don't know. But social workers are quite different people. They don't earn as much as actual psychologists, but they do a bang-up, smack-up job, actually. We've got a guest today to speak about that. Angelo McLean joins us now. He's CEO of National Social Workers Association. And this is National Social Workers Month, actually. So congratulations, if that's in order. Tell us about how social workers play roles in people's lives.
Thank you for having me, Ron. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about the things that social workers do every day. Folks don't know it, but you know, social workers are somewhat like unsung heroes and deserve a lot of credit for the work they do. There's about 650,000 social workers across the country, and we serve approximately 10 million people on a daily basis. That's almost every day. About 10 million people are being helped by social workers. We work in hospitals, veteran centers, schools, the justice system, community centers, and really in all aspects of society, you'll find social workers working, helping people live better lives.
Mm-hmm. And I understand they kind of bridge the gap between healthcare professionals and law enforcement and all those areas. These are people that create the liaisons and those efforts that are in between.
Yeah, for instance, if you think about healthcare, about 25% of social workers work in healthcare. That's, you know, really from the cradle to grave. Uh-huh. Oncology, working with aging, working in mental health. And you might not think about that, but a lot of times a social worker is a key member of the medical team. Mm-hmm. You know, connecting the family and the patient to care, and particularly aftercare services once a person goes home.
Yeah, I always find that social workers have more of a connection to, I guess we'll call them the patient or the consumer in this case, but they seem to have a personal connection, more of a bond than the actual satellite professionals who do their job and then they're off doing another job.
Yeah, social workers, you know, we're trained in what we call person and environment. Mm-hmm. So we are trained to really understand a person in the context of their culture, the context of their family, context of the community, and their neighborhood. And so we sort of have a hands-on understanding of what people are going through in their daily lives. And one of the things that's really sort of first nature for social workers is empathy. And when we talk to some of our friends in other aspects of health and human services, you know, they'll have empathy on their checklist and say, remember to be empathetic. We're social workers, you know, we're just naturally empathetic.
Yes.
And can understand things from the client's perspective.
So there's no need to tell social workers to be empathetic because they are anyway, pretty much.
They are anyway, and for a lot of them, that's what got them into social work, was the desire to really,
yes, that
you
was,
know,
yes,
to be hands-on and help people and into better society and right the injustices in our society.
Right, so the personality really is in order with that to begin with. They don't have to be told, remember, be nice to them. Okay, so is the need for social workers growing?
The need is growing. The Labor Bureau predicts by 2022 that there could be a shortage of social workers. So we're trying to recruit more young folks to consider careers in social work. And we're seeing enrollment go up in the schools of social work. We've got over 700 schools of social work across the country.
When you become a social...
If you think about the aging population, the population aging, a lot of, as folks get older Americans, they need the services of social workers.
Right. Getting an education and working in social, in this area, I assume opens up a lot of other areas as well for an individual in a career.
It does. You know, I've been in social work myself for 30 plus years. Started with a bachelor's in social work and then a master's in social work, and eventually got a PhD. With my bachelor's I had a lot of avenues open to me, and even with my master's degree, a lot of avenues. And we find social workers, you know, as presidents of universities, as chancellors of universities, as provost. We find social workers in research and social workers in the legislature. We got senators in the U.S. Congress are social workers, and in the House of Representatives are social workers. And we actually had a social worker, Wendy Sherman, who was helping negotiate the Iran nuclear agreement. Wow. So there's those skills are very broad, and part of the skill set is understanding how to assess a situation,
right?
How to put a plan in place to deal with it, and then the importance of relationships and how to connect with people, and the communication skills. And those skills apply broadly across a large domain of areas. I was actually talking to one of my friends who is one of the lead health inspectors. Well, one, he has a health inspector under his purview, but he is the head of Health and Human Services for a county out in California. Mm-hmm. And the social work skills have taken him to that level of where he's got many aspects of Health and Human Services under his purview.
Yeah. Wow. So what is the message that's being put out with National Social Workers Month?
Well, it's really, our theme this year is Social Workers Stand Up, and that's about, you know, we stand up for others, particularly folks who were perceived as sort of powerless and voiceless and helpless. We stand up for them to make sure they can participate fully in our society, and we stand up for ourselves, because oftentimes folks have a misperception of social workers and tend to think that we, in the whole, that we don't bring the value to society that we do. So it's really a chance for us to pat ourselves on the back. We tend to be, you know, when we do good, we tend to say, oh, no, it was just, you know, it just sort of happened. I can't take any credit for it. In fact, we're saying, hey, this is one time during the year. Pat yourself on the back. Take credit for the great things you do, because we do so much to help society, people in society live better lives. And a lot of our work helps save lives.
Angelo, if someone were interested in getting into this profession or just understanding more about it, where would they go?
They can, you know, in this, the day we live in, you can actually just Google social work, careers in social work, and it will bring you to the NASW website, and there's lots of information there about careers in social work and the different aspects and how to get involved there.
Well, again, Angelo McLean is the CEO of the National Social Workers Association. Thank you so much for bringing this to light today for us.
Ron, thank you for having me. I really do appreciate it.
Take care, my friend.
Take care.
Bye-bye. I can never do social work because I'm not social. I think you have to be somewhat social to do social work. If I were a social worker, someone would say to me, Ron, you're not even social. I'd say, yeah, you found me out. It's just something I'm hiding behind. I'm not social. You're right. And I would never have a month of my own. There's no, like, talk show host month. There's no such thing. There's no point. There's just no point. I wonder what's going to happen to me today.
Greetings, fellow planet travelers. Kip Starchild here with your New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape. Let's take a look and see what the stars have in store for you. Aquarius, the stars say you'll soon find happiness and prosperity, but then I think I hear them giggling to each other, so maybe take that with a grain of organic fair trade salt. Pisces, your beautifully focused pursuit of meaning will soon lead you to a box of toaster pastries. Don't read too much into it, just enjoy some delicious toaster pastries. Aries, unfriend everyone on social media and start again. Choose better this time. Taurus, stop relying on WebMD and get that thing checked out already. People are starting to talk. Gemini, you will soon face a fork in your career path. It'll be the fast food industry or amateur bondage porn, so choose wisely. Cancer. When Mercury goes retrograde and Pluto is ascendant in the house of Cassiopeia, make yourself a sandwich. It will be amazing. Leo, call your mom soon for interesting news. And by mom, I mean the real one. In prison. Virgo, you will soon win a very prestigious award. But beware, your acceptance speech will be interrupted by Kanye West. Do us all a favor and punch him right in the sack, okay? Douchebag. Libra, your lucky number is 26, and your lucky color is blue. Look for instances where they appear together, especially on Tuesdays. This could help cure you of your extreme gullibility. Scorpio, it's time to stop eating things on a dare. Capricorn, now that gay marriage has been legalized, perhaps it's time to take a really close look at exactly why you love musical theater so very much. Maybe? Think about it. This is Kip Starchild, and that is your New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape for the month. Until next time, peace.
Now I know how to shape my day. Hey, I've had a good time today. How about you? Don't answer that. I'm scared about your response. I'll be here again tomorrow with a brand new show. Will you come back again at whatever time you want tomorrow, or like any time anyway? Will you do that for me? No? Well, I wish you peace anyway.